Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
Welcome to the Out of the Box podcast here in Oklahoma City. Barry Robertson, Tom Canterbury. Hi, Tom.
Hello.
How has your trip to the Women's College World Series been so far?
It's been great until I apparently broke my ankle.
Yeah, so I was off recording another pod, and I come back, and Tom is like, you'll never guess what happened. Please explain to the people.
Well, my foot is – I think I have plantar fasciitis, so my foot is already hurting to begin with. And then I apparently missed that curb and just rolled the ankle on that same foot. So it's been a lot of fun here after Red Rocks and gelato, which was great. It was just after that, now I'm limping pretty
much. And you know, the biggest bummer is that I wasn't there to record it.
Right. Yes, that would have been great.
We have recorded most things here on this trip. You know, what's special about this podcast every year is it gives, I think, all the outside listeners an opportunity to understand the inner workings of BAMU a little bit better. And even this year, we've gone a little bit more in depth. You're going to hear from the team nutritionist. You know, that 14th inning game wasn't just hard on the players.
We talked a lot, but food was made continuously throughout that entire game.
Yeah.
Two games in one. So yeah, everybody worked hard.
You're going to hear behind the scenes from the equipment manager, Stu Moore. What goes into the uniform selection on each trip? How does that work? And, you know, what swag bag do some of the players get?
Yeah. And like, how do the uniforms get washed every day? Like,
yeah,
you know, it is a constant moving motion, everybody.
Also, maybe my favorite bit of audio ever, you will hear Caleb Beaver's reaction about 10 minutes after we all found out that she was going to be an All-American this year, which is pretty special.
Yeah, really special for Alabama that they can continue the NFCA All-American streak, which dates back to 1998. So every year but one of the program that there were All-Americans handed out, Alabama's had at least one.
Yeah. And Cattlemen's.
Of course.
Red Rock.
Mm.
Just lots of the usual fun. And then, you know, as you're listening to this, you're probably getting ready for a little game that we're going to play, Alabama against UCLA.
Yeah, oh, nothing. We get to play the Bruins to start things off. So
yeah,
it's going to be a lot of fun.
So let's roll the audio. Here we go. BAMU all over them in OKC, lanking it up left and right.
Okay, so we are in the plane.
And Ryan's taking a
and
selfie.
Ryan, hi, Ryan.
Hello.
This is the Out of the Box podcast around OKC. You just heard the intro. I don't know what we said. This episode will be used to give you another behind-the-scenes look at what happens on a road trip like this, on a plane trip like this, when we go to Oklahoma City in the Women's College World Series. We'll preview the matchups for day one as well and get you ready for the event. Greg Robertson, Tom Canterbury. Tom, hi.
Hello. Happy to be on the plane.
Same here. So, real quick, we're going to hear from some people on this plane. What is your plane ritual? What do you do? Are you a talker to me? Are you a sleeper? Are you a podcast listener? What do you do?
Yeah, I plug in and hit the snooze button. That will, I like to watch it take off, and then we'll shut down the window and head off until we land.
How annoyed would you be with me if you closed your eyes, put in your headphones, and you felt me tap on your shoulder?
On a 1 to 10, it'd be like 8 or 9, depending on how important what you were telling me was. You could redeem it by having very important news.
Well, I don't. So I'll leave you to it. We'll hear from some other folks here on the plane. All right, you heard from Ryan. She was taking a selfie while we did a voice memo. Hi, Ryan. Are you excited to be going to Oklahoma City?
It's like dreams come true all over again. I think this is 3 times as a player and 2nd time on staff, and it just gets better every time. You know why?
Why?
Because I get to experience people's first time, and it's my favorite part.
What have the last 48 hours been like for you? And just for the people. Oh, Murph's coming by. Hi, Murph. So we got home at like 3 a.m. Sunday, I guess then Monday, after winning the Knoxville Super Regional. And now here we are on the plane Tuesday. What's been going on for you in between that time?
I don't know what day it is. I don't know what time it is. I still don't have my voice, but let me tell you, everything's better when you win. So I'll sleep in like 2 weeks. That's fine. I don't need it.
What is your favorite non-on-field thing about Oklahoma City?
I mean, I love Toby Keith's bar. Like, some good live music, that kind of thing. I love the Riverwalk. My parents are coming, so getting to spend a little time with them. You know, just Bricktown's really cool.
Cattleman's? Have you never been to Cattleman's?
I don't think I've ever been to Cattleman's.
Oh, no. This is going to be quite the experience for Ryan Iamuri. Thanks for hopping on, Ryan.
I think we need to sit down now.
Okay, bet. We are still on the plane. It's gray. I'm sitting here with, as of 20 minutes ago, NFCA second team All-American Caleb Beaver. Hi, Beav.
Hi. How are you doing, man?
I'm great. Were your headphones on when that was announced? Like, did you hear it? Because for those that weren't on the plane, which is all of you listening pretty much, that was told by the flight attendant woman over the loudspeaker.
I did hear it. I did, because Lance up there, he came and sat beside me. It was a little sketch, was concerned of what he was doing. But then he videoed my reaction and gave me a big hug. So I did hear it.
This is the first time you've ever been an All-American.
How does it feel
to have that happen this year with this team at the school that you've always dreamed of playing for?
All the dreams keep coming true one after another, and there's just one more that I'm reaching for, and there's only seven people in the way, so going after that one now.
Ooh, I love it. All right, real quick, last thing. There's someone between us in this aisle. Who is that?
This is Jeffrey the giraffe. He is a jelly cat stuffed animal, and he was a graduation gift, so he has traveled many of times. This is his first trip to OKC, but he is ready to go.
Are you ready?
More than ready.
It's Caleb Beaver. Thanks, Beav.
Thank you.
So we've gotten off the plane, and now we are here. Where, Tom? Where are we? Where else would we be?
We immediately ran to Cattleman's. Just couldn't get here quick enough.
Could not have taken any less time to get to the hotel and then to Cattleman's. And it's a little bit different because last year we were all at one table. This year we've been divided into three. So, you know, we're all having our own different Cattleman's experience.
I was fine with it because it went, made it from a like hour and a half wait to like 10 minutes. So, you know, we'll see these people the whole time. It's fine. Yeah.
You're notoriously patient about food.
Indeed, yes.
All right, so we're at a table with Sherry, Michelle, Kimberly, and Drew. I'm going to pass it around. Everyone say what they ate. I will start with Drew.
Ribeye.
Filet mignon.
Salmon.
Hold on. Wait a minute. Salmon?
It's so good.
All right, continuing.
Filet mignon.
Filet.
Filet. Tom, you can go a little bit more in depth.
Maybe the best thing I've had here, which is saying something, but the filet mignon, bacon wrap, the salad was spectacular as usual, baked potato, perfection, all of it just great.
Rolls, question mark?
Yes, indeed.
Boom, bama. I had the filet, cooked medium rare. If I had to do it again, I might do it medium. Just to see, but yeah, it was delicious. Anything bacon wrap. I mean, let's be real. It's going to be victorious.
Bacon remains the only meat that makes other meat taste better, and it does it here. And it was funny, the waitress, as she was giving me the plate, said, "Careful of the juice." And I was like, "No, I want all the juice, please. Thank you."
You want the swag and the juice?
All of it, yes.
And Tom is going for 40 pounds gained on this trip.
After last weekend, I'm probably going to get there.
Okay, we out for this segment. But when we come back, we'll talk to the other tables here at Cattleman's. All right, we've come over to the other table now. Gentlemen, this is a table of four. We'll go to a table of 10 in a minute. David Nieder, I'll let you speak for the group. You ordered an appetizer. What was it, and what are your thoughts?
The onion rings were fantastic. It's my first time trying lamb fries.
What are those?
Lamb testicles.
Oh, dear.
No, there's no oh, dear about it. They were delicious, and I would order them again. No regrets.
Okay, what steak did everybody get? We'll go clockwise.
Well, this is easy. We all ordered the exact same thing.
Oh.
The 16-ounce prime rib with the
ribeye.
Excuse me. Ribeye with the loaded baked potato.
All right, well then.
Bats and I got the sauteed mushrooms.
Bats, your thoughts?
I mean, pretty solid. Yeah, pretty solid.
On what?
On your food.
Yeah, yeah.
Beautiful. Stu?
Absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah?
The only thing better than the food is waitress Debbie. She's the best.
Debs is awesome. Love Debs.
We love a good waitressing queen, and Debbie is that.
Fun fact about Debs. This is a family business. Her daughter, and her granddaughter all work here.
She's Deb Cattleman?
Yeah, yes. Maybe?
Would you like to be on the podcast, Debbie?
The podcast? Sure.
Why is this restaurant so special?
Because we were open 2 years before the Titanic sank, and we have our original recipes are from that era, our house dressing, the seasoning we put on our steaks. Yes, and if these walls could talk, let me tell you.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah. I love it. Cattleman's behind the scenes with Debbie and the other table of four. Good job, guys. Bye. All right, here we are at table three, the table of 10 plus. Doc, is this your favorite Oklahoma City tradition?
Undoubtedly. Tonight's order was the, David, what did we get? It was a 16-ounce ribeye. 16-ounce ribeye, cooked perfectly, medium rare, baked potato, loaded, phenomenal salad, side of mushrooms, little Jack and Diet.
Sounds heavenly.
Oh, man.
David Burney, is this your first time at Cattleman's?
First time. I'm impressed. Lived up to the hype, Gray. It's been great.
Cammy, what'd you get?
I had the small filet, which was fabulous.
Petite filet.
It was delicious.
Dilly, what'd you get?
I got a cicada and a cucumber.
We kind of had a buffet.
Oh, honestly, same. All right, let's pass around the horn. What do we get? What do we get?
I got the small filet, chicken fried steak.
Oh, I just kind of want to be in peace with my
Did you
dad.
Eat? You didn't. There's no food here. Where's your plate?
Oh, I smashed it, Gray. I smashed it.
Oh, dear me. Are you okay?
We'll find out in a few hours.
Okay, Bella? I'm glad you didn't ride with me.
I got a sirloin steak. It was good.
Beautiful. You know we're coming back on Thursday, right? Everyone? That's on the docket. Michelle's like, I don't know. I've had enough steak. Oh, you got okra. And you're eating it as I put the microphone in your face. That's fine. The editing mechanism is beautiful. Is the okra good, Michelle Dilts?
That is actually my favorite part of the dinner tonight.
Really? Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay. Okay. Anything else about this meal that you would like to say? Anyone at the table?
Listen, I truly did order the wrong thing, Gray.
Oh.
That's the problem. Michelle, when she went with the chicken fried steak, I was like, shoot, I got the wrong thing. I acknowledge that. But I really wanted the corn dog. I asked Dilly to order it for me. She did not. So I had to settle for it.
So you put the fate of your dinner in the hands of a 2.5-year-old.
Yeah, and she absolutely 100% screwed me over. We had a plan. She's going to order me a corn dog. And do you see a corn dog? No, I had to get the filet mignon. And all I was like, I'll have the leftover cheeseburger. Well, she had to throw the cheese on the table. Guess I'm not eating that now.
So Dilly is the villain of this dinner? Is that what I understand?
Yeah, she's now my nemesis for the trip, and I don't know how we can come back from this, but I'm glad she's on the other side of the table because I have strong opinions.
Dilly, your response. She seems unbothered. Dilly, how do you feel about the accusations leveled against you?
Well, I don't think what you've said will hold up in court, sir. All right, thank you, table three.
Okay, it is Wednesday, the Wednesday before the Women's College World Series, and I'm here with Alabama pitching coach Lance McMahon. Lance, another year, another All-American pitcher. How do you do it?
I don't know. That's a good question. I think just the brand at Alabama, we can recruit really good players. So it's all Kayla Beaver, though. She put in a lot of hard work. We had a lot of hard conversations early in the year about what her goals were, and I'm really proud of her. So
this is the biggest pitching staff Alabama's ever had. How did you manage that? How do you manage that?
It was tough. I think the toughest part was just the injury piece. You know, for a really big part of the year, we weren't even 100%. So I think just mixing and matching and putting everyone in positions to be successful was the biggest key. And it was really fun to see it all come together throughout the year.
So last year we sat in the lobby at the Renaissance and we were talking about the familiarity of the first round opponent in Tennessee. This year, you've not faced UCLA. And Maya Brady's hitting like 700 and their offense is absolutely raking. What is the different preparation that goes into putting together a plan in the World Series against a team you haven't seen all year compared to last year when you knew what you were getting with Tennessee for the most part?
Yeah, it's a lot more film work. You know, last weekend I didn't have a ton of film work because we played Tennessee so many times, but we actually played them last year in Clearwater, so we have some notes to go off of from that. We played Duke last year in Clearwater too, so while these are new opponents, which I'm excited about, there are some familiarity there, so at this time of year, everyone's good. You got to come up. You got to play your best game and find a way to win.
What's your favorite part about the World Series?
I was actually just in the breakfast room, and it's the patches. I was thinking about that.
That's actually your favorite part?
Yeah. I remember watching this as a little kid and always looking forward to seeing the patches on the jerseys. So I think that's it.
Is there anyone outside of, like, the teams that are here that you would like to see and or meet here at the World Series? I know that a lot of the softball dignitaries will be in town.
Well, Tom Brady's retired. He has nothing to do right now other than come watch his niece at the World Series, so that's going to be on my list.
Will you roast him if you see him?
Yes. I'll do my best.
Thanks, Lance.
Thanks.
I'm in the team room. Stu's here. Hi, Stu.
Hi.
And there's a ping pong table over there. Batch just walked in, and I'm sitting with one of the real MVPs, Bree Leonard. Bree, you are the GOAT. How are you?
Great. How are you, Gray?
I'm wonderful, and I have to ask, you know, a lot of people look at a 14-inning game like we had in Knoxville, and I think about the players, I think about the coaches, I think about the umpires, I think about a lot of people. But you might have had the busiest day of all. Tell everyone what you were doing during the 14-inning game against Tennessee.
Well, to begin, making lots and lots of PB&Js. But I think the biggest thing behind it is just making sure I keep the girls hydrated with our athletic trainer, AC, making sure they stay fueled, not going too long without some quick energy things. So making sure to pass out energy chews or Rice Krispie treats, applesauce, just anything to keep them going, keep that energy up, and get them ready to win a game.
Did you feel like you yourself were on TV when Jenna's sandwich made an appearance in the celebration?
Yes, it was probably just as great as when we were at the SEC tournament and we had shot glasses of Pedialyte, and she definitely held it up to the cameraman and it was on TV. So yeah, it was great. It was great.
Let's hope we have no more 14-inning games this year. So meal prep for the World Series, what does that look like?
Well, lots of menu writing in the early hours of the morning. But the biggest thing is just keeping it fun, not super boring, seeing what the hotels can do, and just honestly getting the girls involved too. I like to ask them, you know, what are some things that you want to have on the menu? Because we let them do a lot of stuff on their own. The most meals that I do are breakfast, so keeping those fun. Yeah.
What is the thing that is most requested and the thing that is most requested to not be on a menu?
I think the thing that's most requested or that they like to see the most is going to be something sweet. So like these wonderful cinnamon rolls that we have this morning were a hit. And I'm sure I'm going to be asked about them again later this week.
And anything that people are like not a fan of?
I don't think so. I would say this is not a picky group. And I think from the very beginning, they all told me that they wanted to buy into nutrition, and they really did it this year. So I don't think there's anything that they're just like, I don't want to have that.
All right, I'm going to ask one final question, because now I'm starting to go down the rabbit hole of pickiness. You've been around the block here to Alabama, elsewhere. What is like the pickiest request that you have ever heard from a student athlete that you can think of on the spot right now?
This was a long time ago, but to peel the skin off of the apple before I cut it to give it to them.
Why?
I don't like the skin, was the answer.
Okay. Well, I hope that person is thriving as an adult now. Bree, thank you.
Thanks, Gray. It was great.
All right, so here we are. It is the Voice Memo Pod yet again. Ryan I. Murray's walking up, waving. We're over by practice. It's a great day. It's a little overcast here in OKC. Gray and Tom. We're going to preview the top half of the World Series bracket, which features Alabama, during the actual on-field practice. We'll look at the bottom half. But before, Tom, we get to Alabama, UCLA, and Duke, Oklahoma. Let's talk about the Knoxville Super Regional. A lot of people want to know our thoughts on Alabama going to Tennessee and taking 2 of 3 from the Lady Vols, arguably being the better team for all 3 games. And I gotta say, like, if you don't believe in the human spirit, then you weren't watching the Super Regional last weekend, because Alabama just looked like a team that believed more, and they came out on top.
Yeah, Alabama was the more confident team all 3 days, really. And even though losing game one, coming back on Saturday seemed like the more confident team. And the fact that, you know, you had that really long extra inning game, like, Alabama had 8 different chances to walk it off. But the reason why they had so many chances is because they didn't allow Tennessee to score 8 times either. So it was just an unbelievable game, unbelievable performance by Caleb Beaver in the circle especially. And then Sunday, you know, you got the magical grand slam right before the weather came. And I think the most important part of that game, there are several very important parts, but one of the most important parts was after the 3-hour weather delay, Jawson Brisky comes out and gets 1-2-3 in the bottom of the first. Tennessee did not get a chance to respond, and it just continued that theme of Alabama being the more confident and the more loose team. And Tennessee just it never seemed as though they had a whole lot of fight until that 7th inning of the last game.
There are so many people and moments that I think we can highlight. You know, Caleb Beaver's given up 1 earned run in the NCAA tournament. Caleb Beaver's given up 1 earned run all year against Tennessee. You talked about Brisky and what she's done. I think the Callie Hevlin leaping catch to start off, I think it was the 3rd inning, was a huge momentum stopper, because that was also the inning where Tennessee had their best threat until the 7th, even with that catch on the leadoff attempt by Riley West. So, and then, you know, Riley Valentine, Bailey Dowling's home run in game 2. Like, we could highlight probably 7 to 8 people, which to me is the best sign about the entire Super, because that tells me that this was accomplished not by one superstar, but kind of by everybody stepping up. It was a true team victory and a true team showcase in the Knoxville Super.
Yeah, I mean, very rarely does a team make it to Oklahoma City with offense only around one person, 1 or 2 people. It does take 1 through 9 in the order, and Alabama got production from everywhere, 1 through 9. And, you know, it's a lot of times it's somebody that you're not expecting. You know, who would have thought Riley Valentine would be leading Alabama in postseason hits and home runs here
and RBIs
here this year? But, you know, the switch flipped for her in postseason play. Some people are just really good postseason players, and Riley's obviously one of those. But everybody has done something, even if it's just drawing a walk or, you know, getting hit by a pitch, something to keep innings going, turning the lineup over, and producing at times big numbers.
So as we look towards this weekend and Thursday, anything else from Knoxville that you wanted to highlight? One more for me. The crowd, the Alabama crowd, was kind of the more dominating force in Knoxville. which is, I think, significant. And I know that all the Alabama people who come to OKC are going to be loud, but it was just great to see the crowd. Even when there were moments where Tennessee looked like they were taking control, it was kind of the Alabama crowd that rang the loudest at Sherry Parker Lee.
And the whole environment is so interesting, because it seemed as though the Tennessee crowd, kind of the same way as the Tennessee team was, a little bit uptight, a little bit, you know, just waiting for something bad to happen, which, you know, you look at how the regular seasons went for both teams, it should have been the other way around. Tennessee right. should have been extremely confident. Alabama, you know, that there had been issues throughout the year where you thought, well, you know, this is maybe not it, but everybody just had that that belief. And it went out into the crowd, too. You could tell the Alabama crowd truly believed going to Knoxville they were going to win this game.
I just couldn't have been prouder of a team. And now we're here in Oklahoma City. Alabama will take on UCLA Thursday at 11 a.m. Central Time. The game might have started as you're listening to this. That's how it goes. It's the voice memo pod. It's fun. But as we look into this matchup, I've still got a little film that I've got to watch on the Bruins, but I've run the numbers. UCLA right now is arguably the hottest team in America. Maya Brady's hitting .688 in the NCAA tournament. Charlize Palacios has 11 home runs in the last 18 games. They have looked close to unstoppable, and that's how you want to look this time of year going into the World Series. This is going to be quite a ball game between the Tide and the Bruins.
It should be. I mean, pretty much anyone that comes to Oklahoma City is going to be hot at that time. And UCLA, you know, struggled out of the gate a little bit, but they certainly put it all together and have figured it out. And we've talked about 1-2 punches in the circle. You're not going to find a better 1-2 punch in the lineup than Palacios and Brady. So, I mean, it's a really good team, but if you're looking for an easy road through the Women's College World Series, you're not going to find one.
No.
Everyone here is good.
You're in the wrong line of work.
Yeah, indeed. Everyone here is good. There's no easy roads through the entire NCAA tournament. I've heard some outlandish comments made about Alabama's road through the NCAA tournament. There's no such thing as an easy road to OKC. Alabama had to go the number 3 team in the country on the road and win a series to get here. And looked like the better team the entire time. So I think if you're Alabama, you're very, very confident. But, you know, UCLA, they not only are playing real well, they kind of have what Alabama has as far as, you know, the been here before factor.
Right.
You know, this is not going to be new to virtually anybody on that UCLA team. And the ones it is new to, they've been indoctrinated in really quickly. So we know about the Bruin bubble and how that works. So it's, you know, it's going to be just two teams playing at the highest level, hopefully playing their best softball and give Alabama a good chance.
Yeah, you know, I think it's going to be a fun matchup. I mean, obvious keys to me, it's about keeping the ball in the yard. You got to keep Brady, you got to keep Palacios, you got to keep Megan Grant, you got to keep Jordan Woolery, you got to keep all these people in the yard. Give yourself a chance. Don't let the opponent put up a big number. That's what Tennessee did last year. They had that big, I think it was Riley West, actually, 3-run homer to kind of really put some separation in. Do anything that you can to avoid that. Be prepared for both pitchers. You know you're going to see both of them probably at some point. And honestly, that's all you have to prepare for, because nobody else is really available for UCLA. So that's beneficial. But this is just a really talented Bruins team. It's a battle of interesting narratives. You know, Alabama, Lank, no one believed in them. No one thought they would be here. UCLA's got the narrative of, we were the team that was knocked out of regionals last season as the 2 seed, and now we're trying to come and win a national championship in the last year of the pack. So it's going to be interesting to see which side the narratives favor as a thing drives by. Quite loud.
No leaf blowers available.
It's just a field draggist. But, yeah, I think it's going to be a really good game. And Feng Nye pointed out on social media that these are, you could argue, the two teams who are on the highest heater right now. Alabama just went to Knoxville. And, yeah, we'll do an entire off the wall at the end of this pod. We've got some receipts and we've got some things to say about some of the things people have said about Alabama this week. But bottom line, you've got two storied programs in softball, and last time they met at the World Series, something kind of crazy happened.
It was really fun. You could definitely make the argument, too, these are the two teams with the biggest chips on their shoulder coming into this World Series, because, you know, A lot of people didn't even pick Alabama to advance out of their own regional, much less make it here to Oklahoma City, and Alabama is here. UCLA, there, you know, there was, yeah.
2 weeks into the year, we were like, are the Bruins cooked?
Right. And somebody on this podcast said they wouldn't win their regional. That would, but I wouldn't call out any names on that. But so, you know, that there was some doubt for UCLA, even as well as they were playing coming in to postseason, just because they had a really tough regional and everything else like that. And then playing a team like Georgia in super regionals, you knew that was going to be a tough matchup, but they handled the Bulldogs pretty well. And now these two teams, like you said, playing as good as anybody in the country, and they're going to kick things off in the World Series.
So after our game ends, we will head back to the hotel. We'll do post game and we'll post up and check out a battle that could not be more opposite ends of the spectrum. You've got Oklahoma, perpetual World Series participant, and that's putting it mildly. They've won 3 straight national championships versus...
The last time they were not here was 2015 after the Runyon home run.
Yeah. And they're taking on a team that did not have a program the last time Oklahoma missed the Women's College World Series. That's Duke. This is the Blue Devils and our colleague and friend Kelly Torres and her teammates' first trip ever to Oklahoma City. And they played opening day way back in February. Oklahoma won that game 3-0. I remember tracking it from the hotel in Atlanta. Duke is a team that is kind of similarly to Alabama, just playing with house money. It's the first time here. Nobody expects anything of them. They're taking on Oklahoma. What a brutal draw for the first day. I mean, I am very excited to see how Duke comes out and plays. And I think if they play free, they've got a shot.
Yeah, Duke also has that chip on the shoulder that I'm sure, despite being ACC champions, the fact that they were the 10th seed, I'm sure rubbed them the wrong way. They had to go on the road in Super Regionals against a really good Missouri team, but won in Columbia to get here. Like I said, they're playing with house money, but at the same time, they're taking on the big dog here in Oklahoma. That is quite a tough draw for your first ever World Series game, but really impressive that Duke is even here. But they just need to have, if they have a chance to beat Oklahoma, because like you said, they played with them, it was a long time ago, but it was this season.
Yeah.
They have the capability to play with them, but they gotta, you know, not get behind early. They just have to, you know, they have to play an A+ ball game to have a chance.
Two great pitchers in Jayla Wright and Cassidy Curd. You know, options abound for Duke. I would have to do a deep film dive into how that might go if I'm Marissa Young and how I would want to operate that pitching plan. Oklahoma, you know, they have had moments where they've looked like Oklahoma this year and certainly this postseason. And then there have been moments where things have gotten a little complex and they still find ways to win. They keep winning and there's a lot to that. But if you're going to get Oklahoma, this is the first time in a long time where it feels like that can happen if you're a team like Duke or a team like anybody in this field. And that's no shots at OU. They're still a very good team. They're just not, you know, the gargantuan that takes one step and crushes their soul like they have in the last few years.
But, I mean, I know they're not the number one seed, but I still think they are the odds-on favorite.
I would agree.
But, yeah, they're a little more gettable this year. And by gettable, that means they've lost like 4 games. So
6, Tom.
Oh, excuse me. You're right. Yeah. So, you know, I mean, it's Oklahoma. They're the Goliath. They're the giant. But, you know, we know the end of that story. So we'll see what happens.
So we'll do the bottom half of the bracket when we're out on the actual field. But any bold predictions for session 1 of the Women's College World Series on Thursday?
I would say there will be at least one upset of the 2 games.
I think one of the games is going to go to extras.
Well,
the odds would say it's probably ours.
Great. Good call.
Oh, you're welcome, America. Okay.
Which I'm sure the organizers would love nothing more than the very first game to go like 14, 16 innings.
Shout out to the SEC tournament. We already pulled that card once this year. All right. We'll wrap that up. We'll do the bottom half later. Who knows who else you'll hear from in the meantime. We'll be right back.
There's a lot of people just hanging around.
Yeah. You never know. Bye-bye.
This episode is brought to you by Honda. When you test drive the new Prologue EV, there's a lot that could impress you about it. There's the class-leading passenger space, the clean, thoughtful design, and the intuitive technology. But out of everything, what you'll really love most is that it's a Honda. Visit Honda.com/EV to see offers.
Talk to your specialist about Botox Cosmetic, onabotulinum toxin A, because Botox Cosmetic Day is back on November 20th. For one day only, buy one $50 gift card, get one free, while supplies last. It gets better, because it's not just one day of celebration, but the whole month of November. Refer a friend to Ali, and you'll both get $50 off a Botox Cosmetic treatment. Plus, if you register and get treated during November 1st to 30th, you have the chance to win $10,000. For prescribing information and box warning, visit BotoxCosmetic.com or call 877-351-0300. No purchase necessary for sweepstakes entry. Treatment must occur by 12/6. For full official rules, offer terms and conditions, and to join Ali, visit BotoxCosmeticDay.com.
So good, so good, so good.
Justin, and so good. Thousands of winter deals are at Nordstrom Rack stores now. And that means thousands of fresh reasons to rack.
Because we get the latest trends for way less.
I've been looking for these.
The best deals go fast.
Save big with up to 60% off Sam Edelman, Sorel, Free People, Cole Haan, and more cold weather finds. Great brands, great prices. That's why you rack.
So we are here in the outfield at formerly Hall of Fame Stadium, now Devon Park. Shout out to Devon. Gray and Tom. Tom, let's look at the bottom half of the bracket. It begins with maybe the best matchup of day one. 1 seed Texas, 8 seed Stanford at 6 o'clock Central Time. First game of the night session. You've got a Stanford team that just kind of went beast mode games 2 and 3 against LSU. Nyjah Kennedy was untouchable after she got touched up in game one. And Texas has largely been considered the best team in America pretty much since March. So I genuinely, oh, as that one goes off the top of the wall, we'll let you know if anyone hits home runs, by the way, out here. That was almost hit by Murph. But yeah, this is the most compelling matchup, I think, of day one.
I agree. I mean, you look at what Kennedy did in the last two games against LSU, like you said, just went absolute beast mode, just got very upset after what happened in game number one when LSU run ruled Stanford, and to come back the next two games and run rule a really good LSU team and keep them from the World Series yet again. What a performance by Stanford. They kind of re-informed everybody that they have not gone anywhere and they are going to be a national championship contender. Texas, you know, had an absolute dogfight with Texas A&M after, you know, both these teams lost game one and came back and won the next two to get where they are.
There was a lot of that this year. A lot of teams defying the math.
Yeah, very rarely. It doesn't happen very often, and it happened a lot here this year. And all year long, they've been the number one team. They won the Big 12 in their last year, keeping Oklahoma from doing it. But then Oklahoma comes back and beats them in the tournament championship game. So Texas is probably not hitting on quite as many cylinders as Stanford is right now, but you definitely know that Texas has the talent to be the number one team and to win. So it's going to be a heck of a ball game.
Are we in danger right here? Nope. Kendall Clark's got it. Atta girl. She caught it. Yeah, you know, I think – so we always talk about – what's the marquee matchup, right? It's Nyjah Kennedy versus the Texas offense. So, to me, immensely, the most interesting thing is the flip side, the Texas pitching versus the Stanford offense. The Stanford offense is one where, a little similarly to Alabama, they're not going to just light you up, but it's going to come from somebody at some point in the game. And the Texas pitching staff kind of had some issues in that dogfight against Texas A&M, and they've been really, really good all year. They've got a ton of options, but sometimes not everybody is hitting on all cylinders in that pitching staff. So I'm not 100% sure who the edge goes to. My gut says it would be the Texas pitching, but I don't know. The Stanford offense just continues to find ways to score when they need to.
Yeah, you know, Texas, I think they have more depth pitching-wise than Stanford does.
For sure.
But, like, Texas' floor is a lot lower than Stanford's floor is as far as pitching goes. So if they don't get a good performance, they can get touched up pretty quickly. And Stanford, like you said, an offense similar to Alabama's, but one that can definitely take advantage if the pitcher's not at the top of their game. So it's going to be up to the Reese Atwoods and those type of players for Texas to put up those big numbers to maybe compensate in case their pitching staff doesn't shut down Stanford like they have the capability of doing so.
Yeah, we didn't even mention the fact that I'm going to go ahead and guess 1 and 2 in the Player of the Year race. They're facing off, Kennedy versus Atwood. Kennedy won last night. I'm going to take a wild guess that Atwood was probably second. And Lexi Kilfoyle, who we'll talk about in a minute, was in the mix as well, one of the top three finalists. But this is so marquee. The night session, it isn't necessarily quote-unquote prime time anymore because of the ABC slot, so they give it to the day side more or less. But I think that you've got a phenomenal start to the night session, especially considering Kevin and Amanda are calling it, and every time Kevin and Amanda are at a game, it seems like it goes off the rails.
Yeah, you know something crazy is going to happen. So, and you have that capability. Both these matchups, they could be 1-0 or they could be 10-9, just depending on how the game goes. And that makes it to where it can be so crazy. There could be a run rule. It could, almost every option is on the table in this first matchup and really both matchups of the night session.
Let's go to the other one. Florida, Oklahoma State. We assume this will be Lexi Kilfoyle for Oklahoma State versus Keegan Rothrock for Florida. At this point, I don't know if there would be anything more shocking that could happen on day one than Keegan Rothrock not starting against the Cowgirls. This seems to be the most even matchup, I would say. Oklahoma State is a team led by the pitching. The pitching is really solid. Lexi's had a great year. Ivy Rosenberry's had a really solid year as well. The offense, pretty potent. A lot of youth in there. Florida, you know, a lot of youth in the circle, a lot of experience on the offensive side. And you've got Skyler, who's been here before. You've got Falby, who's been here before. Jocelyn Erickson has been here before with Oklahoma. You've got a lot of the people in that Gator lineup who have been on this stage. And that's not necessarily true for the Oklahoma State offense.
Yeah, that's the thing. You know, you have Oklahoma State, who has been here the most consecutive times other than Oklahoma. But, you know, they're doing it with a lot of new players here this year. And Florida, they have a lot of youth, but they have a lot of experience, like you just said. So that is going to be, you know, which side handles that better. Rothrock getting a start here, game one, we assume, again. Game one in her first trip to Oklahoma City. Will, you know, she hasn't had a whole lot of nerves this season, so I wouldn't expect her. But there's a chance that, and if you have a nervy couple of first innings, Oklahoma State can put up a big number.
The Lexi Kilfoyle matchup against Florida. We also have to talk about the fact that these teams have played this year. That was way, way back in right after Clearwater, and Oklahoma State won 3-0 on a 3-run homer. I believe that was one of two hits that were allowed by Rothrock in that game. So it wasn't like the Cowgirls shelled Keegan Rothrock the first time they faced off.
And that was that special. Just the two coaches got together and said, hey, everything got rained out in Clearwater, let's play, since we're all in Florida, and they did. And that ended up being a really big game for strength of schedule and everything else, why they got the seeds they got. But when the brackets were first put out, this was one of those super regionals. You win the super regionals first round of the World Series that everybody kind of looked at and said, that could be the game of the first day. And I think that has held up.
So, a bold prediction for the night session, Tom.
I'm going to narrow it down. My bold prediction is Stanford's going to beat Texas.
Boom. Michelle Dilts walking by. I think she might have agreed with that boom. Stanford over Texas, Michelle, yay or nay?
Uh-oh.
That's going to be a fun game.
Who are you picking?
Do I have to go on air saying this?
We're just talking.
We're just chatting. It's what we do for the most part.
I don't know.
I may go say Texas.
Okay.
All right.
I will break the tie and say Stanford. Yeah, I'll make that prediction. And I think my other bold prediction was, I think Florida Oklahoma State gets weird because one of the teams kind of pulls away from the other more so than we expect. That's my bold prediction. I mean, like a 5-1 type game, 6-2, 7-3, something like that. So there we go.
All right.
Anything else for the night session, Michelle?
No, I'm good. Thank you.
Tom?
I think it's going to be a heck of a first day, and you know, the overall, just a what a field here at the Women's College World Series, and there's going to be nothing but great games.
Can't wait. We will have more on this Around OKC podcast series. We're going to Red Rocks tonight for dinner. We've got more fun to come. Stay tuned. All right, we continue our podcast as we check in with everyone ahead of game one of the Women's College World Series featuring Alabama. I'm here with Stu Moore. Stu, please explain to the people your title. You've been on this pod before, but this is your first real showcase.
Yeah, no, I'm the equipment manager for the Alabama softball team. So basically I handle any uniform ordering, gear distribution, laundry services, anything like that. I handle that for the entire softball team.
So in front of us, I see bags, I see hoodies, I see water bottles, I see sunglasses, I see towels, I see backpacks I did not see before, actually. Mm-hmm. What is all this?
So right now what we're looking at is what's left over of our Nike swag that we have a great relationship with our friends over at Nike that we send a list off, obviously, before Supers, and once we make it, they find one day out of the entire time where they come over and they just drop off a whole bunch of goodie bags for all the girls and staff. And so we actually had that today. And so what you see right here is just basically left over of all the sizes of everything that we've either issued out or made exchanges for. So this is what's left over. And so now we got to figure out where we're going to give it and what home we're going to give it to.
Very nice. So, all right. So let's go into the equipment portion of it. How many different jerseys do you bring to Oklahoma City?
So in the past we've done two. They've always told us to do one light, one dark. Last year, we found out that they said, oh, by the way, you can do three. This year, I found out that we can do four. So the uniforms that we actually brought with us are white Bama, crimson Bama, the pinstripe, and the crimson Scripte top are the four tops that we brought. But then we also brought white pant, crimson pant, and pinstripe pant to wear with it. So we obviously have multiple combinations that we can wear for this week. Obviously, our plan is to be here the next Thursday because we're going to win it in two and go from there. So we have many uniform or combinations that can get us through the week.
I'm going to ask you something controversial.
Okay.
This is a raging debate on social media all the time, really. What is your favorite uniform combination?
If I had to pick one from this year, I would have to say the pinstripe.
Yep.
That's one I kind of held a little close to my chest for a while now.
Do you want to tell the people how that went down? Because in the program, we all know the surprise that went into it. The girls were not really aware that they were getting that uniform until the day of the game.
Yeah, so that was something that I kind of wanted to switch to. We've had issues with one of our other tops in the past. So one of the things that I thought we can do is just change it up. And I've talked with Murph, and one of the options was to do a pinstripe. And so kind of got a couple of designs back on it from Nike, and we picked out the one we wanted, and they arrived early, and we got them all checked in. We were good to go. And then the day of, we kind of kept it close to the chest about when we wanted to debut it. And so we wanted to debut it. What was it that?
I think it was Florida Game 3.
It was Florida Game 3. Yeah, Florida Game 3. We didn't want to bring them out for a non-conference. I mean, yeah, we had Arizona and Virginia Tech that we could have done it with, but we thought it was ideal against Florida that we brought it out then. And I think we did win that matchup, correct?
We did.
So right now that top's actually in a pretty good stance when it comes to the win-loss record. So hopefully we're going to keep it going the way it is right now in the World Series.
What are we wearing tomorrow?
We are actually going to be wearing the crimson Bama with crimson pant with white belt, white socks. Right now, that's it's pretty good combination right now, and we're going to stick with it to open up against UCLA.
Any final thoughts, Stu?
I think if we just go out there and hit like we have been doing, pitching and playing good defense, we got a chance to make a run in this tournament.
Oh, let's go. Stewie, thanks for joining us. Love you, buddy.
Thank you, sir. Love you, too.
We are here at Red Rock Canyon Grill. This is hashtag the boys chat. Everyone go around and introduce yourselves.
I'm Jack Fechner.
Andrew Herncar.
Andrew Stovall.
Zach Malinchek.
Jackson Taylor.
Why are all of you here? Someone take the lead. I'm not going to pass the phone to all of you. Herncar, please.
We're here because we are one of the final eight teams in the Women's College World Series. We grinded all season. Ben, there's a lot of ups and downs, but you know, we prevailed. And as a manager crew, we stuck together very well. And they brought us along on the trip. And that's a reason why we're here, is because we earned our stripes. Thank you.
Andrew Stovall, your hair is ridiculous. Please explain.
Yeah, so it's kind of become tradition that something crazy happens to my hair every year that we make the Women's College World Series. And I've been with the program for 2 years, so my hair has been demolished 2 years now. So last year was a buzz cut. This year, thankfully, I kept a lot of it. But it is a little bit different than I'm used to, but it's growing on me. No pun intended.
Fickner has something to say.
Keep in mind, no one told him to get the haircut this year. No one told him to do that. That was voluntary.
We have not won a game since you got a new haircut.
that's last year as well.
We went 0-2 last year and haven't played one this year. And do we have, like, what's the foam that grows the hair back? That's what we're going to use if Thursday goes poorly.
If Thursday doesn't go right, just the hair growth for men products. We'll either that or we'll just chop the rest of it off. So
we're just, never mind.
Yeah, we're probably just going to tell him just never cut his hair again. Thank you, Tom.
Anyone else have anything they would like to say?
I would like to say
something. Oh, Herncar has a note.
The Chicago Bears will win 9 games and make the playoffs by a slim margin. It will be a tougher season than people imagine, but with the young talent that we have, we'll make the playoffs.
We'll win the first round.
Sorry, you were saying too much crap. Fickner?
As a noted Packers fan, I mean, this guy does not know what he's talking about at all. He doesn't know anything.
Hold on. Hold on. Whoa. Okay. All right. Herncar, you have the floor for 8 seconds. That's all I'm giving you.
He's Jack Fickner is from New York and not an actual Packers fan. He's a bandwagon. Don't listen to whatever word he says. Thank you, Tom.
Fickner, you have 5 seconds on a rebuttal.
He's from Wisconsin. He's a Bears fan.
No, actually, that's
3 seconds, Herncar, last one.
I live closer to Chicago than I do Green Bay. He lives in New York. That's 100 million miles away.
Thank you, Herncar. Stovall, you have a thought?
Yes, so I just wanted to share a little story. It was on draft night, and we were all mudding balls. And it was also just, you know, all of us having a good time hanging out. Well, Jack Fickner decided to put a little bit of Cool Whip on my face while I was napping during the draft. So we kind of got him back by tricking him and telling him that the Packers had actually moved up 10 spots while actually I was waiting behind a wall for him to run in through the door, and then I threw Cool Whip all over him. So it's just a good story. And then he said he loved it. So it's a good story.
And how old are you?
27.
Oh my God. 27.
So my age, okay. We good, boys?
Yep.
This has been a boys' chat from OKC. Yep. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
We're here at Red Rock Canyon Grill. Just a phenomenal meal, Gray and Tom. Tom, what did you eat? Because I ate the same thing, so I'll just give it to you.
Yeah, shrimp pasta, shrimp canizzati.
I don't think that's right.
Whatever it's called. It was shrimp pasta, and it was amazing.
Explain the pasta situation.
It was like circles of pasta, like the shells without the stuff in between. It was a shell, but it was outstanding. A perfect plate. It was like a plate within a plate for the shrimp, and you could just put it all on there.
Well, many pasta tacos at times.
Yes, quesadillas even. Yes, it was really well done.
Stu, what'd you get?
The wood-fired chicken with mashed potatoes and carrots. Very good.
Yeah, big fan. Nate? Well, hey, Nate's first appearance on the pod this week. What'd you get, Nate?
I wasn't aware I was joining. I got the meatloaf. It was excellent.
Always joining.
Thank you. In spirit, at least, yes. Yeah. Meatloaf, excellent.
Kit?
Sausage, chicken thigh, and leg. I can't remember.
It was so good. Your memory has been wiped clean.
I know is it's gone. I didn't have enough.
Steve, what'd you get?
Still working on this excellent chicken enchilada.
Almost burned my hand on the candle. Yes, your thoughts on the enchilada. That's Murph's favorite.
He made a good choice. It's delicious.
Okay. This will be the final time that, you know, the three of us gather at a table until the game tomorrow. Me, Tom, SID Extraordinaire Nathan Sheehan, before we do a little pregame fist bump in the booth. Nate, we have not heard your thoughts on the fact that we're here. What? I mean, I know you probably feel the same way Tom and I do, but please wax poetic about Team 28.
Yeah, I think you tweeted it about our trip to your lake house after Auburn Game 3, where Murph said this is the time to take the team on the magic carpet, right? And that's kind of what it's felt like. You know, it's sort of been, I don't know if surreal is the word, but at a certain point, you're just kind of along for the ride and just enjoying it. And I think that we've all, I don't know if it's enjoyed it more than in years past, but it does feel like we're just kind of taking in the moment maybe a little more and just appreciating the fact we're even here, the little things in between, the little things we do in Oklahoma City, you know, that are really special, and just doing it with this group. It's been really fun to be a part of, and I hope we're not done anytime soon. I think we got a little bit more in us.
I agree. Tom?
Yeah, for sure. Another thing that he said during that lake trip was that no one is going to be more battle-tested than this team, and goodness gracious, they've gone through all the battles to get here, and they've come together at the right time, and yeah, you're right. You're just enjoying all the different things outside of softball that we get to do every year in Oklahoma City that not everybody gets to do on any type of regular basis like Alabama does. So we're very, very appreciative and very happy to be here.
Amen. I think it's almost picture time. We'll wrap it up from the table. KJ Haney, what does Bama U mean to you?
Bama U means resilience and celebration. And here we going, and it means loving the people around you endlessly, and it means celebrating those who deserve it.
Amen.
And it means caring for everyone you set your eyes on more than you care about yourself.
I love it.
Thanks.
Jaden, can I get a boom Bama?
Boom Bama.
That's all I needed. Thanks, Ribs. Thanks, KJ.
And also, Bama U means my inner lip tattoo.
Oh, the more you know. So there you go. Tom, is your ankle feeling better since the audio played?
It's about the same.
Okay.
Thank you, though.
Well, now comes the interesting part, the actual softball. This team, we talked about it. I don't know if I've ever been prouder of a team to get to where they are. And, you know, we've discussed a lot off air the correlation between last year and this year. Last year, fair or not, it felt like a lot of the success of the season was based solely on getting to Oklahoma City, especially considering the circumstances, making sure that Montana's career ended there, however it ended.
Mm-hmm.
This year, this team seems to want a little bit more than just getting here. And I think that that bodes well for what the journey could be the rest of the way.
Yeah. I mean, the argument can be made. Alabama, one of the hottest teams of the eight coming in,
probably with UCLA, if we're being honest.
Yeah. But yeah, I think that just getting here is not enough for these players. Like, they want to come here and they might want to make noise in this tournament. And I think one of the main differences from last year to this year is this is as healthy of a team that Alabama's had at this point in the season in a long time.
Yeah.
Everybody is, you know, everyone's going to have some aches and pains and bumps and bruises, including the radio guys.
As you know.
Yes. But, you know, they're as close to 100% as you can be for this point in the season. You know, it's not a situation like last year where Montana Fouts has the torn ACL, which we didn't know it was torn at the time, but we knew it was injured. So you're not able to be at your full strength going in to face an outstanding Tennessee team like last year. This year, you're at full strength taking on UCLA, and you'll roll it out there, see what happens.
Right. And an underrated storyline, I think, for this game. It was interesting talking to some UCLA people and kind of hearing their perspective. And we'll dive more on the broadcast, so make sure you tune in, and I'll have Tom read all the usual ways in just a second. But the strike zone is going to be really impactful tomorrow. And Kayla Beaver has something specifically she's looking for. Both Caitlin Terry and Taylor Tinsley have something specifically that they're looking for. So if we see it, then that could kind of skew who has the early edge based off what the strike zone looks like.
It can. But that being said, I think, you know, Sunday against Tennessee was not a great strike zone. The strike zones, from what we heard, again, we didn't have a great angle to be able to tell strike zones from what we were watching live. But what we see is that the strike zones weren't great all weekend in Knoxville. And for the first time really this year, Alabama handled it well. So, you know, hopefully we get good strike zones and the Beeve gets everything that she wants, strike zone wise, or Brisky or whoever's pitching against UCLA. But I like where the pitching staff is, even if there is a poor strike zone.
How can the people listen, Tom?
Well, if you're in Tuscaloosa, listen on 97.5 FM, Nick975.com, the Me 975, MeTV 975 app, also available on the Varsity app. And I know there are several affiliates throughout the state that are picking up the games as well. So I know in Huntsville, 97.7, the Zone is carrying the games, and there are some others throughout the state. So,
and I'll add, almost assuredly, we're going to be on Sirius somewhere. There are like five SEC stations. We're going to be on one of those.
Yeah. So hopefully you'll be able to find us.
I would think so. And if you can't, Twitter, at @OutOfTheBox_pod for the show. Tom.
Yeah. T Canterbury RTR on the X for me.
Yeah. At Grage, your @AY_Robertson. Let's play some ball.
Let's do it. You know, it's going to be a lot of fun. Happy to be here, but not just happy to be
not
here.
Satisfied.
Yeah, indeed.
From my partner, Tom Canterbury, I'm Gray Robertson. Hope you enjoyed this episode. If we're here for a while, I might do another one. Who's to say?
We have an epic off-the-wall plan.
Yeah.
It's going to happen. It's going to take a little time to get everything correlated. But we might have a whole spinoff show just off the wall.
Yeah, honestly.
It kind of deserves it.
The off day is going to not. It's going to be us going off. We'll see you next time on the Out of the Box podcast. Catch you later.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.